can always tweet us at 99.3 ESPN Radio. We might even tweet you back. This is Scheman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Hi, I'm Craig Scheman along with Pete Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. It is a Friday. We're ready for the weekend. There's actually some football this weekend, as you heard Chris at the top. The Alliance of American Football. Catch the fever.
I'm intrigued.
I am intrigued. I will watch some. Of course, there'll be Duke and Virginia college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Be some good stuff on there, too. So a lot to watch this weekend if you need your fix. Coming up in a moment, we will talk with John Ireland, the radio play-by-play voice of the Los Angeles Lakers. They beat the Celtics at the Horn last night on a nationally televised game. So we'll take care of all that coming up here in just a little bit. Next hour, we'll have a guest from the Boys and Girls Club of Lee County. We'll tell you what
Shannon.
That's all about later on. So we're looking forward to all that. And so last night, a fun night in basketball. I was flipping back and forth between your game and my lowly Hoosiers and their struggles, but back and forth. That was just a great basketball game last night between the Celtics and the Lakers.
It was. It looked like it was going to be a 30-point blowout midway through the second quarter. They're down by 18. Celtics were blowing them out. And the Lakers could not hit anything, couldn't hit a free throw either. They were terrible. And they just got it together right after the half. Everything they threw up, as I said, it is tough to defend when you make 19 catch-and-shoot three-pointers. It was like lickety-split, boom, and they were up. And the one LeBron made at the end, wow. Just like it was like a line drive bullet that he made. But so it was just a fantastic game, though. No matter how you look at it.
Well, it has been an interesting 48 hours for the Lakers, to say the least, between the trade rumors, the 42-point loss at Indianapolis, and then the buzzer beater last night, scorched earth policy by LaVar Ball, saying that Lonzo's teammates and coaches are bad, the trade deadline. It's just unbelievable. Here to kind of set us straight and see where the Lakers go from here, John Ireland, friend of the program and longtime radio voice of the Lakers. John, how you been?
Hey, John.
Craig, I'm excellent. How have you been?
Very good. Very good. The last time we spoke to you, you were just kind of getting excited that you were going to have LaVar and Lonzo Ball in your life, both as a play-by-play man and a radio talk show host in Los Angeles. Since then, you've gotten LeBron James, and since then, you've had this amazing 48 hours that we just talked about before you came on. The job's got to be fun, huh?
Never a dull moment. You know, if there's one thing about working for the Lakers, is you will never be short on drama. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, but it's never boring. I've been affiliated one way or another with the Lakers for 21 years, and it has never, ever been boring.
Well, last night's game was really a classic. Didn't think it was going to be. Thought it was going to sell us up by 18. Looked like they should have been up by more, actually. But I'll tell you what, John, man, it's tough to defend 19 catch and shoot threes. I mean, I know they made a franchise record 22. I thought actually the D on a lot of those was okay. But my God, in the third quarter, I think it was 9 of 11. And how about the fourth quarter when it looked like the Celtics were going to pull away again? First 6 minutes, Lakers score six. Last six, they score 24. An unbelievable turnaround.
And, guys, they've never shot from three like that. And I have to look up what they finished from the free throw line, but it was awful.
7 of 19, I believe.
Yeah. 7 of 19 is that what it finished out as? I mean, and I'm pretty sure the Celtics were 20 for 20.
They were
from the free throw line.
They were.
So everything had to go right in order for the Lakers to win that game. And you talked about the 3-point shooting. I mean, as a group, we rank in the bottom five of three-point shooting teams in the league. At the trade deadline, the guys we went out and got, Reggie Bullock and Mike Muscala, went after those guys because they can shoot threes. But neither one of them were in uniform last night. Mm. So it was a combination of everybody getting hot on the same night. Mm. And then really some lucky bounces that landed up in the lap of Rondo. And it was a little surreal. Kevin Garnett was sitting under the basket in a Rondo Celtics jersey.
Yeah.
And Rondo buries that right in front of him to win it. And if the ball doesn't bounce right to him, I'm not so sure the Lakers even get a shot off.
Yeah.
So we lost a game earlier in the season in Sacramento in which we never trailed the entire game. And Bogdan Bogdanovic hit a three-pointer and at the buzzer when Tyson Chandler was right in his face.
Yeah.
And we didn't deserve to lose that game, and we did. And last night, I think you could argue we probably didn't deserve to win, especially with the free throw shooting. But we did, thanks to that shot by Rondo and what I think was a lucky bounce. So I'll take some of my Irish luck into the Boston Garden and steal it from the leprechaun. We'll take it.
John Ireland is with us, the voice of the Lakers with Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN. All right, let's talk about the NBA trade deadline that came and went while the team's getting ready for this game. Everybody's looking around. Who knows who's going to be traded? Anthony Davis, the deal that was reported that Magic Johnson offered, was it too much, or do you do anything you have to do to get Anthony Davis and then deal with the rest of it afterward?
Well, here's one thing I'll say, Craig. I don't know if what was reported is actually what was offered. Mm-hmm. I mean, I saw four different reports of things that were offered. Magic Johnson is on his way here. We just landed in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And Magic is flying here, and he's going to talk to the guys that, you know, survived the trade deadline and tell them exactly what happened.
That's a good way to put
which
it.
I think is a smart move.
Yeah.
You know, and he's already said he's going to open the floor for questions and let these guys ask anything they want.
Mm-hmm.
And I my guess is what he's going to tell them is, look, it's a business. Most of you are going to get traded at some point in your career.
Mm.
You're not traded now. We have 27 games left. This is your chance to audition to keep us from trading you in the future.
Mm.
And let's see how that goes. But again, that goes back to my first comment about drama.
Yeah.
Craig, I don't know if it's too much or not, but you know, we're not allowed to, if you work for the team, you're not allowed to talk about players on other teams specifically.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as they try and find another star to play with LeBron, you're going to hear all sorts of rumored trades. Some of those reports will be accurate, and some will be completely made up. I mean, there was one report early in this thing that the Pelicans were not even speaking to the Lakers,
yeah.
That they wouldn't even pick up the phone. And the next hour I saw that they had discussed five different proposals. So, you know, believe it or not, they don't let the radio play-by-play guy in on their negotiations, which I think is an outrage.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure what was offered and how bad it ever got. But I think until they find another star to play with LeBron, you're going to have those rumors, you know, almost nonstop.
Yeah.
What's the team's attitude, John, towards LeBron James, in your opinion, right now? I mean, last night everybody looked great, but I mean, he's still. Do we read too much into it when we see the last couple of games that he's sitting, you know, four seats away from everybody else? Is there anything to that at all?
I didn't think so. I just thought it was a picture.
Yeah.
But I'm around him all the time, and you know, I think they all know LeBron's the best player in the world. And he's got a four-year deal. This is year one. And the expectation is that this team is going to go into the playoffs and not just make them, but make a run. And if they're losing, and right now we're 28 and 27, I think all bets are off. But if you're asking me, and I think that this is what you're asking me, if there are chemistry issues,
yeah.
If you would ask me after the game Tuesday night in Indiana when we lost by 42,
mm-hmm.
They seem pretty obvious. Last night in Boston, they beat a team that had won 13 of 14 in that building since Christmas. And it seemed like a gigantic mismatch. And they played great. So, you know, and I assume one of the next questions you're going to ask me is, what is the status of Luke Walton? Because everybody asked that.
Yeah.
Well.
There's nothing that Luke and these guys that are on the team can't win their way out of. If they go on a run, if they win, if they make the playoffs, which I think are likely now because the Clippers basically tanked their season by trading away all their best players, if the Lakers get in and make a little bit of run, I think that everybody can win their way onto the team, but they got to win.
John, let me ask you this question. It's tough. You answer it however you have to answer it, understanding you work for Magic Johnson and the Lakers. But
sure.
I talked about on the show yesterday how – he said, look, I'm going to get a couple of max superstars in here. We're going to make a run at it. And if I don't, I'm going to resign. And he's gotten LeBron. Got to give him credit for that. But Kawhi Leonard, who wanted to play there, Paul George, who wanted to play there. I don't know what's going to happen with Anthony Davis. What if Magic whiffs just because of circumstances? What about the future for him, I guess, is what I'm really asking you, beyond this summer?
Well, I'm optimistic that something good's going to happen this summer. I just don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. So I guess my answer to you, Craig, would be we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But the Lakers are a pretty desirable franchise. They've got tons of room in cap space. And let's see what Magic comes up with. I think that if he can, have a summer similar to what he had last summer, then he'll be fine, and this isn't even a question. But yeah. I guess the way I would answer it is stay tuned, because something's going to happen, and we're going to find out what it is. But as somebody in Sports Illustrated wrote once, the Lakers with max cap space is something that is really dangerous for the rest of the league. And I guess I kind of agree with that, if you have the best player in the world and you have the best city to live in and you have a lot of cap space, you should be able to come up with something good. So let's see what they come up with.
John, any future deal involving Lonzo Ball, if Delusional Dad is involved, is it possible that Delusional Dad could force other GMs to say, no, I'm not doing any deal if this guy's coming along to my city. I don't want to deal with it. I want nothing to do with it. I know it's baggage. I know it should be separated. But do you think LeVar Ball could have an impact on any potential trade involving Lonzo Ball?
I don't, but I could be wrong. And here's what I mean by that. Lonzo is, and I know this sounds weird, guys, Lonzo is like the opposite of his dad. Mm-hmm. His teammates love him. He doesn't say much. He's pretty quiet. He's very good when he's healthy. Mm. Obviously, right now he's not healthy, but he's very good. And I don't hold the sins of the father, against the son. And I know that the Lakers don't either. In kind of a weird set of circumstances, if there's somebody that knows anything about a dad who talks a lot, it's Luke Walton. Bill never shuts up. So Luke and Lonzo just kind of look at each other, and Luke will say, hey, are we good? And Lonzo says, yeah, of course, coach.
Yeah.
And they just keep going. Now, that doesn't answer your question if it would keep other teams from acquiring Lonzo. I don't know. But he's very well-liked here. And if he's healthy, he's actually really good for us. He moves the ball. He increases the pace. He's better than people give him credit for defensively. And I think the Lakers would love to keep him. The one thing Lonzo needs to figure out is he's a really bad free throw shooter.
Yep.
I think he shoots 41%, which is ridiculous for a point guard. But if he can figure that out, he can be a real asset in this league. But to answer your original question, the Lakers pay no attention to LeVar. LeVar literally could say anything he wants, and the Lakers would just ignore it.
Wow.
They deal specifically with Lonzo, and they like Lonzo. They have nothing against him, and they don't hold his dad against him.
Yeah, because LeVar sure went scorched earth on Undisputed yesterday, and we both sat here on the radio. We're like, gosh, what's it going to be like for Lonzo to walk into the locker room that day? And you're saying it's really no big deal then.
It's not, Craig, not only am I saying it's no big deal, I'm saying it's no deal at all.
Hmm.
People, like maybe somebody will rib Lonzo about it and give him a hard time, but the Lakers pay no attention to it.
Wow.
Do you think Lonzo in private goes up to his dad at all and says, please, you are beyond embarrassing me. I'm not better than LeBron James. Yes, it does matter that I make free throws. You can try to speak into existence that I'm going to go to Phoenix all you want. It ain't going to happen. I mean, I got to imagine, John, there's got to be some private time there where Lonzo says, please, can you just be a dad and not humiliate me?
Have you guys met LeVar?
I have
Lonzo
not.
Could say,
yeah.
Lonzo could say that. It would make no difference to LeVar. Had.
Well, isn't that sad, though? Isn't that sad that a son can't talk to his father that way?
LeVar is Don King reincarnated.
Yeah.
He's a boxing promoter, carnival barker. Lonzo could beg him to be quiet, and LeVar would say, nobody tells me what to do. He may try and say that, but it's not going to work. I think he probably gave up a long time ago.
No doubt.
All right, so John, before LeBron's injury, Lakers were actually playing pretty well, and if last night is any indication, they can play well with this bunch. Do you think Magic Johnson like this team as presently constructed, or do we go buyout candidates like, you know where I'm going here, Carmelo Anthony? Do you think Carmelo Anthony is a Laker before the year is over?
I don't, but I'm not in charge of those decisions. Here's a name for you guys to keep an eye on, because after the trade deadline yesterday, we have one roster spot. Mm-hmm. Markieff Morris got mm-hmm. released, mm-hmm. and Markieff Morris is the type of player that fits our system. He's a stretch. He can shoot threes. He defends. He's physical. If Markieff Morris wanted to come here and was healthy, I think that's a possible name for us. But I haven't heard that Carmelo's coming. I know other people have reported that the Lakers are considering it. He's obviously very good friends with LeBron. But I, for one, just my personal opinion, I'd be surprised.
Last question from me, John. Will Luke Walton be a scapegoat? Will he get fired, say the Lakers, go 500 down the stretch and finish 9th or 10th, miss the playoffs? Does Luke Walton come back next year, your opinion?
It's a good question, and I'll pivot back to what I told you earlier, not to sound like a broken record. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's nothing he can't win his way out of. I think if they win and they make the playoffs and they make a run in the playoffs, that he's probably back next year. Yeah. But if they don't win, all bets are off. Magic has made that perfectly clear to everybody that, we're not messing around here. We need to win. We need to move in the winning direction. And so that's what to monitor. If the scenario you laid out comes mm-hmm. true, I think Luke would be in trouble. But he doesn't think that way. And I think he thinks if he can get Lonzo back, if they can play like they did last night, he can win his way into keeping the gig. And that's what he's focused on.
Well, John, our audience always likes it when you come on, and you guys are ground zero of the NBA right now. So thank you for your appearance today. Enjoy your stay in Philadelphia this weekend, and tell Mason I said hello as well. It's always a pleasure to have you on.
Thanks, John.
All right, boys. Thanks for having me on. Have a good show.
All right. Thank you. That is John Ireland, the radio play-by-play voice of the Los Angeles Lakers. A lot of interesting things that we can talk about when we come back. I thought he said some very interesting things. Plus, Pete Shepard has a list of AAF rules. That's the Alliance of American Football.
Correct.
That is going to be on your TV this weekend.
I think you're going to like them.
They have different rules than the NFL.
They have better rules than the NFL. They seem more organized than the NFL.
Facebook has turned into a platform where anyone can spew nonsense. Sounds like these guys. Like our Facebook page, 99.3 ESPN Radio. This is Scheman and Shepard.
Scheman and Shepard on a Friday, everybody. 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Hey, mark your calendar for March 2nd. That is right around the corner, people. It is the Southwest Florida Junior Anglers Championship. Get your kids out there on the water fishing. March 2nd. Kids ages 4 through 15. It's $75 per angler. Up to $5,000 cash prizes. Basically, catch two snapper, two trout. Highest weight wins. Bam. Mm. That easy.
Bam.
We'll be out there, too. So we'd love to meet you out there as well. That is on March 2nd. But go to our website and get yourself registered at 99.3ESPN.com. All right, before we get into football and the AAF rules and a little bit of NFL news as well, just some following thoughts if you just tune in. We just had John Ireland on the play-by-play announcer for the Los Angeles Lakers. I used to work with John when I was out in Los Angeles as well. John's the smartest sports guy I've ever known. He could... Like, you and I, we come in, we do a show, we spend several hours preparing ahead of time, get our facts straight most of the time, and he's the one guy that I think could, and he doesn't, but he could if he wanted to. He could sit down cold, zero prep, do 4 hours, off the top of his head, has a photographic memory of stats, games played, scores. He's the most impressive human being.
I think a lot of us are like that.
No.
I could shut my computer off right now and do a 4-hour show without prepping. Easily.
You're misinterpreting what I'm saying.
He's a great guy. I got you.
He is on a whole nother level.
No, he's not. Well, I love him to death.
No. But I know him personally. I've worked with him for years. I am telling you what you don't know. He is on a different level.
Give me an example.
I just did. I really didn't want to get an argument with you about John Ireland. I'm just telling you how impressive
Mike Piazza's rookie batting average.
I'm giving you a hard time.
I'll bet he could.
I'm giving you a hard time. 297.
Was it?
Who was his godfather? Don't answer. You know that. Who was his godfather? Just why he got in the league.
I thought it was Tony La Russa.
Tommy Lasorda.
Tommy Lasorda.
Yeah. And the only reason he got drafted was because of him, and he turned out to be a superstar.
Yeah. Yep.
That's the backstory.
38th round of the Major League Baseball draft?
Yeah.
232.
Yeah. A little lower. Anyway, a couple of things that he said that were interesting. I like how he phrased the guys that were talked about as trade fodder that survived the trade. They were still there. I thought that was an issue. And that they're auditioning.
And that Magic's going to talk. Like you said, Magic's going to talk to him.
Magic's coming out there to talk to him, talk him off the ledge, say, look, you weren't traded. You're still here. This is the group we're going with. And
it's so sad. In this day and age, you have to cut. You know, I want to remind you, it is a business.
Yeah.
It is a business.
He also said, it doesn't sound like anything is imminent with Luke Walton. He said, look, this is nothing. They can't win their way out. It put a little streak together, and he can keep his job. I thought that was some interesting thing. Doesn't think Carmelo will be on the team, but doesn't know for sure. But there was
hoping reports. That he is. There were reports yesterday that they were leaning. And that was Adrian Wojnarowski. They were quote unquote leaning towards it. But that what does that mean?
I don't know.
You know, leaning towards it is big difference of leaning, and then now that could be a chemistry disaster.
I think so.
How would he and LeBron? And that's what Stephen A. was pushing for. What he thought. That would be a great fix, right?
The only thing I can think of is now you've got two really experienced veterans on a very young team, but I don't like how Carmelo plays basketball.
That's why he doesn't have a team.
That's why he doesn't have a job.
When you talk about a potential for a divided locker room where you have the guys who have been Lakers for the last few years, then the new wave of like LeBron's guys that he just brings in.
Yeah. Be a little divisive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wouldn't work out so
much. At least has the potential to be.
How about playing defense at all?
Who?
Him. I know.
That's why he was so good at Syracuse. He could just sit in the bottom of that zone.
Yeah. Yeah.
I never thought he would be. We always knew he was going to score points in the NBA, but after they won the championship that year when Syracuse won, you know. And that's why.
I thought there was no way Syracuse was going to win that year. I'm like, this is before an era where freshmen just took over. Carmelo, it was still like, if you had a lot of juniors and seniors on your team, that's how you won championships. But he was freshman and he led them to the championship. And then
they beat a senior led team in Kansas, right? That it was Heinrich and guy who just retired, for Oklahoma City, Nick Collins, right?
I
think so. Yeah. And they were both, one was a junior, one was a senior. They were both seniors. That was a Roy Williams led.
Was that the Final Four where Kansas blew up Marquette by like 50? Dwayne Wade's team.
Yes.
That was like a 50. It was like at halftime they were down by 50.
Then you can fast forward to April in the draft when the Pistons selecting two coming off of an NBA Finals win over the Lakers.
Yeah.
Selecting Darko Milicic over Carmelo and Dwayne Wade.
And Dwayne Wade. Thank you. Well, you really hit me.
Hey, Chris Bosh.
Really hit me in the heart these few days.
Milicic was highly praised by a lot of people, even though a lot of people didn't see him play.
He's a farmer.
Who's a bigger bust, Milicic or Markelle Fultz? I mean, seriously.
Well, one's at least still playing basketball. Darko's farming potatoes back in
Yugoslavia.
Is it Yugoslavia?
Something.
It's one of those.
Some of the pundits out there. Oh, watch Milicic. That's what you see. You can watch tape overseas of guys playing. I don't know. Very few exceptions. Yao Ming was one, you know, and
well, at that point you had who? You had Dirk, who was established.
Yep.
Sabonis had come over, but he was an older version of Sabonis.
Here's the problem.
Tony Parker.
I guess.
Was he there yet? I mean, was Tony Parker big yet?
No, I mean, I'm saying he was. Yeah, no, he was from France, right? And then,
If I'm gonna give Joe Dumars a pass on Darko, I mean, you're looking at Dwayne Wade or Carmelo. At the time, you had Chauncey Billups and Rip Hamilton in your backcourt, and they played defense.
Well, let's not.
So Carmelo wasn't going to fit in there.
Well, remember who went number five that year as well?
Who?
Chris Bosh.
Oh, okay.
So
and his number retired.
An 11-time All-Star. I may have to revisit my thoughts on Chris Bosh. I always kind of thought of him as the third wheel. 11 All-Stars and two NBA titles. Those are Hall of Fame stats.
Yeah, he was carried to his two titles.
Yeah, I know. That's where I have the problem. He didn't contribute at all?
I contributed, but did he?
When you got everybody covering LeBron and D-Wade, he's wide open.
Did he contribute to Ray Allen? Well, yeah, he did. He got the rebound. Yeah. So, guess that was a bad example. Did he contribute to the Mavericks series when J.J. Barea and Jason Kidd locked down LeBron James? No. Where were you then, CB?
I don't know.
You're saying they won in spite of him?
No, yeah. I'm just saying. I don't think Chris Bosh is a Hall of Famer.
Okay.
I don't think he was an all-star most of those seasons either.
Okay, a Hall of Famer, but is it,
11-time
about that,
all-star, you're going to the Hall of Fame mostly.
Probably, but we're talking about does he deserve to have his number one retired?
And don't forget his don't forget his time in Toronto.
If he's going to the Hall of Fame, he's getting his number retired. So it's one, you can't have both.
This is the same arena that has, is it Michael Jordan's number? Even though he never, they just retired numbers like they're giving them away. It's just 1 through 99 up on the rafters there in Miami. It's no big deal. Retire your number. It's like giving out candy to kids for free at the door. All right. So this week.
954 brings up a good question. Okay. Imagine the Heat's roster the last 4 years if Chris Bosh didn't have the heart issues.
Okay.
Where are they in the Eastern Conference?
Oh, they're a lot better than they are now. We know that.
A lot better than they are now. Okay. But they've been consistently an 8 seed. Hey, 7-1 year, miss out on the playoffs another year, but they've been an 8 seed. They're a 500 team. How many more wins? What, does he bump them up to like a 6 seed?
Maybe higher. And it's not LeBron, but look, I mean, it's not LeBron. Obviously, LeBron, they're a 4 seed.
Is he worth 10 wins?
I don't think so.
I think we made a pretty good case on this show that LeBron is worth about 14 wins by himself. Yeah. Okay, so Chris Bosh, let's tap it down a little bit. Let's do it in reverse.
I'll cut that in half.
7.
Yeah.
So instead of 41 and 41, you're
48
and help me out.
34.
Okay. Where does that put you? Is that a 5 seed? Is that a 5 seed? I don't know. You're still not home court in the playoffs, I don't think.
48 would be 16 more wins than they have now, and they're a 10 seed. I don't know.
So last year, the Pacers were 48-34, and they were a 5 seed.
And they took the Cavs to game 7.
Right.
Okay. All right. Maybe.
But out west, that's a 6 seed. So it's just.
We don't have to worry about the West.
Well, you're right. They're in the East. They're in the East. Yeah. But Miami was 44-38 last year. So is it worth 7 more wins to last year's team? I don't know.
They improved 4 games from their 41-41 the year before. Okay, how many? What were they last year? The Heat last year.
44-38.
Okay, so the 3-game improvement on the previous year.
They're going to be worse this year, more than likely. They're going to be worse. Right now, they're hanging on to the 8th seed.
Well, they're 2 games back of the 6th seed, so it's
They're 25-27. Charlotte's 26-28 at the 7. Brooklyn's 29-27 at the 6. And then you got Philly, Boston, Indiana, Toronto, Milwaukee.
Which Indiana's going to drop down most likely to the 5 seed. Then you'll have Boston. Philly, Boston, Toronto, Milwaukee. I think those teams are going to fight it out for 1 through 4. And I just think Milwaukee and Toronto's lead right now on Boston and Philly's, it's 5 and 6 games. Like that, it's a lot to make up with less than a half a season to go.
Toronto's 4 in the loss column. That's, you know, Milwaukee's 7 in the loss column. Toronto's 4 in the loss column. But. I think we all agree in the Eastern Conference, probably in some way, shape, or form, Milwaukee, Toronto,
those
Celtics,
are the four.
Philadelphia. But
back to the point, I don't think Chris Bosh is a Hall of Famer.
Is it Twitter poll worthy? Is it too late in the show to put one up? Do you care? Do you care?
No, I don't really care all that much. I just don't like that the number one is retired for the Miami Heat moving forward.
Yeah.
What are you saving it for?
LaMelo.
Yeah. Oh, no.
LeVar said it yesterday. He doesn't want to live in a cold climate.
Right.
South Beach.
You can live wherever you want.
He could probably be talked into South Beach.
Yeah, I think so.
It's not Hollywood.
I think he'd do very well for himself on South Beach.
back up real quick. Back to the golf at Pebble Beach.
Oh, Lord.
Tony Romo.
Is he on, he's on a...
Oh, he's
on the
That's
upper,
my kind of shot.
He's on the upper deck of a patio. I mean, people are having lunch.
They're moving chairs and tables so
this
he
is,
can...
It's in play.
This is 10 feet in the air.
It's in play.
It's the second story of a building. He's landed on a carpeted
it's
patio.
It's a hospitality tent.
This is so me.
Well, not a tent. Oh, it is.
It's the deck of the tent.
It's the deck of the tent. I see.
Got a good lie off the carpet.
He's hitting off AstroTurf, basically.
This is very doable.
Oh, this is hysterical.
I've never seen this in my...
Oh, this happens about once a year.
35 years of covering sports.
I don't remember. This is interesting.
From the upper deck of the hospitality
tent. I mean, it's Pebble Beach. We've probably seen a shot like this before, Craig, right?
Like, how do you get an accurate yardage
What did
this?
It hit to get there? I wanted to see the original shot. Did it hit off the building?
Sure.
It couldn't have landed that way, right? It would have scooted
it
off.
It had to hit the tent roof, and it had a little give to it because it's like plastic, right?
He clipped it.
Is that going left?
He sculled it.
No,
oh,
no.
My God.
It's almost in the hole.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
Oh, my gosh.
He put it to 6 inches.
It is 6 inches from the hole.
Ah, what a birdie.
That just made SportsCenter's top 10.
Holy crap. That's the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
That is up there. I will tell you that.
He's got that wry smile. Like, yeah, I can call a Super Bowl.
He predicted it.
He's blushing.
He predicted it. 6 inches from the hole.
Oh, that's
I'm not
crazy.
Lying. It's from six.
No, it is.
I might be less.
Everybody will see it on SportsCenter later today.
Oh, my God.
That's a great shot.
From a second-story deck of a hospitality tent. I'm assuming that was a 9-iron.
I'm like a wedge.
It could have been a wedge.
Yeah,
he
did.
It was pretty open.
Oh, my Lord.
That's unbelievable.
How did he get the spin on the
he
green?
He overshot it and had backspin to roll back to the hole. I'm looking at the direction from which he hit before they cut to the green. Oh, my word. That was one of the greatest shots of all time.
That's insane. That is insane. Wow.
239 says Phil Mickelson did the same thing last year. I remember Phil Mickelson being down on the grass on the ground level of a corner of a hospitality tent. I don't remember him doing it from the second story deck.
No, you see this about once a year on tour.
Really?
Yeah.
On tour. Okay. It's first for me.
And I'm sure all the years we've watched Pebble, but I wonder how long that deck's been out there, right, Craig? I mean, maybe 20 years ago, that's not even there, a hospitality tent like that.
I think it's temporary, just each year they drag it out. Like, if you were there a month from now, it wouldn't be there.
Oh, my God.
I think. It's incredible.
Can we do pigskin picks or no?
On what? Oh, on the Alliance?
I got lines.
Oh, they weren't out the other day. Are there lines?
I got lines.
Oh, why not?
You know what? Let's take a flyer. They won't count for our 2018 pigskin picks.
No, this is 2019.
This is.
Now let's start it. Let's start the ball rolling.
Let's do an exhibition for entertainment purposes only.
The Alliance of the Picks.
Are we going to roll music and everything?
Well, not NFL music, but.
Well, why not?
I'll have to find Alliance music.
All right.
We're going to find out what they probably will have a theme.
Yeah, we'll have to steal it from CBS.
It's not out yet. That's
all
the problem.
Right. When we come back, Pete has a list of rules that how the Alliance of American Football is different from NFL football, and you will see this on national TV this weekend.
Yeah, Vince, I think you'll appreciate it.
Coming up next is Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
They have their fingers on the pulse of the sports world. This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
Yeah, exactly.
On 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. Also catch us on the 99.3 ESPN app and on Facebook. We go Facebook Live around noon every day. You can go see it. It's up there right now.
Funny videos. We're funny.
Appreciate your likes and all that good stuff. It's up there. Check us out on Facebook. Tell your friends about us.
Going to have a new prop for us on Monday.
A new prop?
Yeah.
What's that?
It's a surprise.
Oh. All
Nothing
right.
big.
Okay.
No, you know.
We're not hanging a banner in the studio.
No. That's, you don't have to do anything.
Is it a championship banner?
No.
Boston?
It has nothing to do. No.
Anything to do
nothing,
with a sports team from
nothing,
the Northeast?
Nothing.
It's,
right. Nothing
it's
to do
the
with
hair
anything.
From Edelman's nope. beard that got shaved on Ellen today.
You liked I did that, right?
Brady got shaved yesterday for charity.
Brady. Stumbled.
Somebody asked
not
him,
a real beard.
The reporters there, what did they ask him if Oh, God.
Giselle's still the man of the house?
Maybe.
I'd let her be the man of my house.
She got the bigger bank account, I'll tell you that.
Whose wife isn't?
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Depends if my wife's listening or not.
Is she?
I don't know.
We'll find out. Keep your eye on your text, your phone right now.
Change the lock, Sam.
Wow, that's cold. Stone cold. All right, so AAF, that's the Alliance of American Football. It is pro football, the first spring league. The XFL starts next spring, but we got football this weekend. It's on CBS, right?
Yes, and NFL Network this weekend.
Okay. There are different rules for this kind of football than the NFL football, and the NFL might want to pay attention. What do we got?
Now, here's one rule that I don't understand how the NFL just doesn't adopt this right there and then. So the AAF will have a ninth member of the officiating crew called a sky judge who will be in the press box and can instantly correct, quote, obvious and egregious officiating errors.
Love it.
Here is the rule as written.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on. Hello, Roger. If you get a helmet-to-helmet spear and it is not called on the field, it can be picked up by the ninth official. Mike Pereira is telling the AP this.
Wow.
He has the ability to do it in real time. It does not go to replay. He can call down to the field and say, hey, spearing on number 33 of Birmingham, 15-yard penalty, let's go. It's correcting errors on the field by another member of the officiating crew without having to go to replay to do it and having a three-minute stoppage to do it. What a concept. But why also, cannot the NFL do that?
Also, that's a ninth person. That's a couple more than the NFL has anyway, right?
I thought the NFL had seven.
Is it seven? Is it six or seven? I thought they were adding. Talked about adding an eighth. But
brings
they didn't
me
want
into
to.
Our next segment. Are the rules the same? So, not entirely. Certainly, the AAF will be playing the football you know and love, but they've got some of their own rules meant to juice scoring and cut down on inefficiencies. So, here's some of the highlights. See ya, kickers. No extra point kicks, and all teams have to go for two after a touchdown.
Hate it. Hate it. Hate it. Hate it. Hate it.
Why? What?
There will be no kickoffs either. Yeah. Halves and post-score drives begin on the team's 25-yard line.
Get used to it. That's how the NFL's going to go.
Nope, the NFL fixed their kickoffs this year.
In keeping with the no-kicking theme, there are no onside kicks, but a team can keep possession of the ball by attempting a play from their own 28-yard line and getting at least 12 yards. Kind of random, but
Wait a minute.
You start on the 28?
And if you get to the 40, it's like recovering.
Okay, I thought you had to get to the 16.
No.
That's better.
You're on your own
28. Still,
you're on your own
I don't 28. Like it.
When does this happen?
Anytime you score. If you want to do it, if you want to keep possession of the ball, you can attempt to play from your own 28-yard line, but you have to get at least 12 yards
and
get to the 40.
And if you don't, the other team gets the ball at the spot of the down?
Yes.
I'm open to that.
Which would it be at the 40 anyway, more than likely, if you're kicking off and you don't get the onside kick, the other team usually gets it in your territory
around
that.
I'm open to it.
Steve Spurrier's all over that.
The play clock will run for 35 seconds. The NFL runs for 40.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not a big deal there.
All right.
Overtime will be played under high school football rules, a.k.a. the Kansas playoff. Each team begins at their opponent's 10-yard line, has one possession to score.
Yeah.
If the teams remain tied after both attempts, game ends in a tie.
Really?
Which I could see that happening a lot.
I did not mind ties this year because I like how it just scrambles the standings.
Yeah.
I kind of liked it because we had a lot this year. Or at least
coaches are allowed two challenges, but cannot challenge a call in the last 2 minutes of either half and overtime. Challenges are automatic in those time frames, just like the NFL.
Okay.
And no television timeouts. 60% fewer full-screen commercials to make up for the lost revenue. Expect to see more product placement throughout the broadcast. That's not too bad.
No television timeout. No.
Yeah.
The no-kicking is dumb.
It isn't.
It is. No, it
is. I think Craig's on the side. I think it's a chance. I think the NFL is heading that way. I hope it doesn't happen.
At the time this league got its act together, that was a real possibility for the NFL. But like Chris said, kickoff seemed a little more benign this year. But this year hadn't taken place yet.
Yeah.
When the AAF was putting its rules together, because that was a big thing a year ago that we were talking about. All right.
Yep.
Very interesting. Now, Chris said he found spreads, so we are going to do pigskin picks because we're addicted to doing it on Friday.
Because why not?
Right, why not?
239 says the onside kick rule is you have to be down by 15 points to be able to go to the 4th and 12. It doesn't say that here, but I'm not saying you're wrong, 239. I'm just saying in
down by 15.
I would think that doesn't make sense to me. You should be able to go for it any time on an onside kick. It shouldn't matter. But maybe he's right. I don't know.
So what, you can't come out of the locker room at halftime and
say, I want to start at the 28, let me get to the 40, own 40.
Yeah.
Sean Payton won a Super Bowl doing that.
No, you can't do it because you will have to have scored first. That means a possession will have had to have taken
place. Now, just real quick, before we give the lines, because this is important, and maybe we should do this on the other side.
We're going to do it later, yeah.
Okay, because I want to give you some names that you might know it might affect the way you think as far as some shekels on some of these teams, because I'll give you some players that you probably will know on some of these teams.
Okay. All right.
But we can do that. Why don't we do that afterwards? Because we're coming up on.
All right. And we got something else coming up at 4 o'clock, too. We're going to have a visitor in our studio, right?
Well, the 4 o'clock. We got plenty of time to get to
this. Boys and Girls Club from Lee County. We'll do that. And then we are going to. I mean, we're doing this on the fly. We're going to start talking about this on the fly with this
wagering. Here you go, Pete. Let's put it to test. No prep on the AAF. You're just picking.
Yeah.
John Ireland.
You too. There you go.
Absolutely.
There you go.
I might go by whatever name I recognize.
All right. We will continue. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.